Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
September 22nd, live from Towson University's Johnny United Stadium from Towson, Maryland. I am Kelsey Nicole Nelson, host of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. I am here with my co-host for today, who's been here with me for the last 2 years, Mr. Richard Miles Sr., founder, CEO, and chairman of the Minor Football League. Miles, how are you today?
I'm fine. It's just weather.
It's perfect.
Like we're in Miami, you know?
But, we brought Miami over to Towson.
Absolutely.
Good to have you, as always. And today, we're going to get things started. We are live from the Zero Prostate Cancer Run Our Walk with the man of the hour right next to me, Dr. Sanford Siegel. I'm going to introduce him on. Well, do you mind if I take your headset for him so our listeners can listen to our great guest? We want to make sure we get all the great information. Now, Dr. Siegel, if you don't know, he is the reason why we're all here. He has made it his mission to make sure that we all know about prostate cancer and hopefully one day end prostate cancer for good. With that being said, Dr. Siegel, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I love everybody comes out to be a part of this special day. You know, we started this event 13 years ago, and over those 13 years, we've raised a lot of awareness about prostate cancer. We've raised a lot of money, over $5 million for prostate cancer research and advocating for more dollars. But really, most importantly to much of the audience is what we've done in the African-American community, raising awareness and providing free screenings for men who don't really think about this disease. They don't think about how deadly this disease can be and is in the African-American community. So that's really one of the things I'm most proud about.
And you talked about how many don't know simply about this disease. So kind of talk about what are some of the biggest misconceptions you feel that are in the African-American community about prostate cancer?
Well, I think the one that's most evident is that they think that if they go to the doctor, they're going to find something that's wrong with them. Well, that's the point. That's
right.
The point of going to doctors.
You want to know.
Yeah. You know, I always say that if you're African-American, you have a chance of having most diseases more often than most.
Yes.
So the African-American community should be going to the doctors more often than anybody else, you know, to look out for diabetes, heart disease, prostate cancer, and things like that. So that's why we've been trying to champion what we do out there, to not only tell men that they should get screened for prostate cancer, but for just general health of the community.
And tell us then, how have you been able to get into the African-American community and let them know about prostate cancer, why they should be going to doctor, why they should be going to get checked? Kind of tell us about some of the great things that you're doing to get the outreach.
Well, you know, we've gone through the faith-based community because that's where we find most of the people. We've looked at different venues, barbershops, bowling alleys, but there's nothing like the church's Sunday church services where I can talk about the importance of screening and getting the men to sign up there for the free prostate cancer screenings. And importantly, not only do we screen the men for free, but if they're found to have prostate cancer and don't have insurance, we'll treat them for free.
Oh, that is wonderful,
so,
Dr.
That's what we are committed for in the community. Yes.
And it's needed in the community, so I want everybody to get that information. And before I ask you a personal question, so people know about those screenings, can you give information about where they can find out more about your organization, and where they can overall learn more about prostate cancer?
Well, they can go to our website at Chesapeake Urology or UnitedUrology.com. All the screenings are on there. Just look at the community events. We still have some upcoming screens. I think the next one is at Bishop Stokes Church on York Avenue, Church of the Redeemed of the Lord, I think is our next
wonderful.
One. And looking forward to a good turnout
there. We'll have to get out there. That would be exciting. And Dr. Siegel, I know something that's changed since the first time I broadcasted live here is that this disease now personally has affected you.
Yes.
So tell me, how has that kind of changed your outlook and kind of your personal work with this great event, great work in ending prostate cancer?
Well, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer at the end of 2017, and I'm still on treatment now. I had a very high-grade tumor, so I'm under a hormonal therapy now. I've had radiation therapy. I'm feeling good. My PSA is undetectable,
okay,
which is really a good sign.
Yes.
And I'm hoping to continue that. My red shirt is in my brotherhood with all my survivors out there.
That's wonderful. So that's what the red shirt here represents.
Yes, we're honoring the survivors out here.
Nice.
We're looking forward to many years of putting this event on and raising money and awareness.
Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you again for having us here. And one last time, can you give information on how people can find out about you and your organization?
It's ChesapeakeUrology.org, I think, and UnitedUrology.com. I'll tell you, you can still donate.
Okay, wonderful.
We've raised almost $600,000 already.
Amazing.
And we'd like to get to $700,000, so any way you can help us,
I'd appreciate
that.
Donate. Again,
please
come out
donate.
And join us. Please donate. You have the website. We're here at Towson University. Come say hi. We'd love to have you. Dr. Sanford Siegel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
It was a true pleasure, This man is truly an icon, a true legend, and thanks for joining us. I'll now turn things back over to my co-host.
Sorry,
thank you so much. But, I mean, just hearing Dr. Sanford Siegel's story, Miles, tell me, I mean, it's amazing. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Prostate cancer survivor. When we first met him, he was just doing this for others.
Absolutely.
But now it personally affects him, so
it's
huge.
And, you know, it just goes to saying, you know, and as we stated earlier, early detection is the key.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand that. You have to go get checked out.
You have to get checked.
No matter how healthy you think you look. Prevention is the key to it all of it.
That's I know a lot of people are scared to go to the doctor. Believe me, I'm sometimes scared. More so about the scale than anything else, but not about the disease. But, you know, I think it's just something that's needed. You know what
right.
I mean? And if you rather go find out that you have something
absolutely
so you can treat
not.
It early than to find out too late and then, you know, unfortunately
right.
you might lose your life. And then you also have to think about your family and loved ones that it can affect you, right?
Right.
So now when something happens to you, it's not just you,
not
right?
Just
it's everybody else around you.
It's everybody
so
around
you. So you have to think about that. And that's why
right.
we're here. I love this race. One of my personal favorite events. We have people of all age ranges. I've seen babies in strollers, can't even walk yet. So grown adults, full grown adults, I'll call them, our lovely elders that are here. But everyone's coming together for a good cause. Again, it's a beautiful day. I don't see why you're not here.
And don't forget to tell everybody I ran around the track four times. You know?
All right. Well, everyone knows that's a lie.
That I ran
it's Sunday.
The track
you can't lie on
four
Sunday.
Four times around the track. So,
but you know what? Next year, I'm going to race. You know, I've been inspired. I'm going to get in shape, and I want to actually be in the race next year. So next year, maybe we'll be doing a live show, and I'll be jogging and doing a live show. We'll see if we can do it like that, have the GoPros and everything else.
Absolutely.
It'll be a blast. We have a lot of great guests going up for our listening audience that is viewing us. We are going to have Earl the Pro Rome Row will actually be next. You guys know him. Oh, just so much to say about him. Winston-Salem's very own. And then we have Joe Washington, a running back for the Baltimore Colts. We have Jen Miller, a jockey, a female jockey from Laurel Park. We have Katie Davis, another jockey from Laurel Park. Julio Carrera, another jockey from, I love this. The horse racing is big. We're in Maryland.
Lenny Moore.
Gotta bring up jockeys. And Lenny Moore will also be joining us, the football, I call him a football legend. But it's going to be a blast. And then we're also going to have a wonderful guest from, come on, Ref, one of my favorite merchandise companies, Robert, joining us as well, Robert Burris. So make sure you stay tuned. Coming up next, we just have a true great, an icon, a legend. I mean, there's so much to say about him.
Yeah.
I don't know where we start.
I know. And I want people to know, but, you know, he might not remember this long time ago. I beat Earl Monroe with one-on-one.
Oh,
I don't
my
want
gosh.
People to, I'm going to keep it secret. Because, oh, he
hit It's good Earl didn't hear you say that.
Earl didn't hear me say
Earl,
that.
Earl, my co-host is over here talking trash, saying he beat you one-on-one in a basketball game before.
I think he wasn't feeling good that day, and I took advantage. But let's introduce our special guest.
Let's introduce our special guest. His name is none other than Earl Monroe. Many know him as the Pearl, a basketball legend. Winston-Salem's very own. Very glad to have him on once again this year. It's something very special that if you don't know this about this extraordinary individual next to me is that he is a prostate cancer survivor. Earl, I'm sorry. Here, we're going to get you. Oh, you want to put chains on top? Are you okay?
I don't know. Where are we? At the Sun Bowl?
I know. I think we took the sun from Cali or something in Arizona and put it here. in Towson, Maryland. But Earl, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm going to try to situate myself.
I know. You're so tall, Earl, still. We got to situate it for greats like Earl. I know it's so bright and so sunny, but Earl, we are so excited to have you here. Earl, what have you been up to since last time you were here?
Oh, I'm just trying to chill. You know, one of the great things about being Earl Monroe is that I'm able to go to different places and partake of all the different things that come about. You know, last time I was with you, I think we talked about our charter school that was starting.
Yes. Congratulations first on getting your charter. That's amazing.
Thank you. And, you know, we're starting that right now. We've got our charter.
Yes.
And we also are being, we're going to have to stay, put it in a school, existing school for the first year.
Yes.
But we're building a school.
Wonderful.
And
which is huge, Earl, because I know the facilities challenges many charter schools face.
Exactly.
Especially in New York, the fact that you guys are going to have your own facility.
Well, it's
amazing.
Going to be interesting. I mean, because it's a specialized type of school, and we want to be able to have all the facilities right for kids when they come.
I'm really
excited about it. And other than that, I'm just chilling.
Just chilling. That's what you do when you're great like Earl Monroe. And tell me, so the charter school you're going to have, for those out there that don't know, that didn't hear our last interview, tell us what grade you'll be serving, what's the purpose of the school, the mission of the school.
Well, the grades of the school, it'll start around the age of 14.
Okay.
And we'll start it off with 88 students.
Nice.
And over the course of 4 years, it'll go to the maximum, which will be 300 and some students.
Wow.
And each year, it'll just double and double until it gets to that point.
That's amazing.
So, the purpose of the school is it's a sports school.
Yes.
So to speak.
I love that. Got to keep the sports in our school.
Exactly.
And get these kids off these video games and back on the courts and on the field.
And the fact of the matter is, it's not going to be just, you know, that it's about sports, but it's about the people who are involved in sports.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to just play sports to be involved in sports. So we'll have, studios for announcers.
Yes.
We'll have,
they're going to come take my job.
Exactly. We have videos and people who want to do other things in sports aside from playing sports. So it's very,
wonderful.
You know, it's a challenge.
So all the careers around sports as well. Because
exactly.
Not all of us can be great on the basketball court like you, Earl. Not all of us are that gifted. So I like that it's for everyone.
I want people to forgive my hand that's up here.
Oh, no, it's no problem. It's really bright.
But, I'm excited about it, and, you know, in talking to all the people that are affiliated with it, and the people in New York, I think everybody's kind of waiting for this to happen. It's the first of its kind.
Yes.
And if it happens, if it does really well, we're looking to take it to other cities. So
that is wonderful.
I think that it's, it's a prototype in a sense. But I think that it's a great prototype, and I think it'll be able to flourish.
Nice. We might have to get you back to Winston-Salem with the charter school in the future.
Exactly.
But let me ask you, so you have done so much in your career. Where does getting this charter kind of rank with your other accolades?
Well, it's just the natural course of things, because as a player and as a, you know, person that's come out of here and, you know, been involved in other ventures with kids.
Yes.
This is only a natural progression of those things. And, I've had an occasion to be on a board of the Crown Heights Youth Collective.
Oh, wonderful.
And that was back in the 70s, and we're still going. And we turned that into a school. But
wonderful.
It's, it's just a natural course of things.
Yes.
You know, as they always say, children are our future, and we need to be able to nourish that so that they will have a future.
That is wonderful, Earl. About 2 weeks ago, during Congressional Black Caucus here in D.C., the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools actually recognized Jalen Rose for his charter school in Detroit, which was founded in 2011. And just hearing you talk, you remind me a lot about him, just seeing a need in your community and wanting to give back and do good. And you know, it's funny, I asked Jalen this question, but he said, where were charter schools when I was a kid? Don't you wish you could have picked a sports specialized school, Earl, when you were younger?
Yeah, absolutely. I probably wouldn't play basketball.
I don't want to erase history books, Earl.
But
it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that, being able to have choices is what it's all about. and to be able to go to a school where it piques your interest and it's something that you can pursue.
Nice.
Sometimes, you know, if we're really mandated to go to school and right. then come out and try to decide what it is that we want
right.
to do.
Right.
So with this particular charter school, you know, you're kind of like, okay, you see the, you know, where you want to go. You have 4 years to work at it and then see if in fact you really want to be in it.
Yes.
But you're prepared to be in it
right.
once you get out of here.
And last but not least, Earl, I want to ask you about the current Futures Act that's in Congress. And I'm sure if those that don't know, basically this bill in Congress is about the funding for HBCUs. And if it doesn't pass, they could lose up to $185 million in funding. Of course, I don't need to explain how much that would affect HBCUs, but just hearing something like that, to the listeners out there and viewers out there, I just want to hear your thoughts and opinions on why HBCUs are needed and why we need to continue to give them government funding and assistance.
Well, you know, for HBCUs, you know, I obviously have gone to
yes.
Winston-Salem State University.
Mm-hmm.
It's a need out there. You know, there's so many places that, you know, that fund all the major universities, their endowments and things of that nature, they're not really struggling for money or
right.
anything. So to be able to do your own thing, so to speak, be able to have your curriculum so that you address the needs of the communities that you come from is very, very important. Most of our schools are being enveloped by you know, the major university systems.
Yes.
And with that, we're losing the identity of the HBCUs. And I think that having the wherewithal to get money, because it's all
right.
about money.
Right.
And if you have the wherewithal to get the money, the facilities that you need to have these kids come through and resurrect and come back.
Yeah.
You know, one of our great problems in HBCUs is that, you know, we don't really give back to our schools in terms
yes.
of dollars and cents.
Right.
And in other universities, the alumni is
they're
you know,
giving.
They're the ones who run the school
right.
per se.
Right.
So, you know, it'll facilitate us to be able to come back and do the things that are necessary to provide those type of things that we need in our own community.
Yes.
And so hopefully, you know, that act will pass and we can start on a new adventure,
yes.
so to speak, of being, schooled in a way where we feel as though it's, you know, we should be. You know, our schools always talked about, inclusiveness anyway.
Right.
But the thing in a nutshell about HBCUs is that we nourish, you know, and we do, you know, nourish the appetite and those are the things that we, a lot of times that we don't have in other community, in other schools of, let's say, white schools.
Yeah, it's true though, right? We're just going to put it out there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad to get your take on that, obviously. And that's why I wanted to get your take since we went to an HBCU. And I want people to know just the importance of this act passing. And Earl, before I let you go, last question. NBA champions this season, who's it going to be?
your guess is as good as mine.
I thought I could get something out of Earl. Sorry, people. But it'll be exciting. Washington, are they going to fare okay? How are the Wizards?
I don't think that they'll be that great. I mean, they're talking about trading Bradley Beal now.
Yeah,
which
will be huge.
They're going to be getting back. If they do that, they're going to be getting back, draft picks and things like that, or either other players of lesser quality. Of course, John Wall probably won't be a factor. So
this season,
I don't think that, they're going to fare that well. And when you think about the NBA itself, you know, it's really starting to hit parity. You know, you've got a changing of the guards from the Golden State. You got Durant coming over. You got him being joined by Kyrie Irving. And to a team that made the playoffs last year.
Yes.
So,
yes.
you know, Brooklyn's going to have to be looked at.
Yeah.
I think the cream of the crop is going to be in the East. At least it's going to be Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah, the 76ers.
They acquired Harper from Boston. And they also, Tobias Harris, they re-signed. So, you know, they're going to be pretty good.
They've got a great team.
Josh Richardson from Miami is joining them.
Yes.
So they're going to be pretty good.
Nice, young, talented team.
Exactly. And, of course, Milwaukee's going to be,
right.
I think, right up there with them.
Yeah. They got the Greek Freak, right? Our reigning MVP. It'll be great. And even Houston. I think with the addition of Russell Westbrook, it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think you share the basketball.
But you also have LA with LeBron and them being joined by Davis, and you got their LA Clippers with Kawhi and Paul. So you got
so many teams are getting better now.
That are going on, and I think that it's important that we realize that basketball is now, you know, showing parity out there, and so anybody can win.
It's true. That's what's exciting this year. I don't think we can just put Golden State anymore, right?
Exactly.
It's exciting time. Earl, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you want to let listeners know about where they can find more out about your school?
Oh, well, we'll be on, you know, Facebook, and we'll be in the papers. You know, people are going to have to read about
it. You got
to
read about it.
And people are going to be writing about it because it's a very innovative idea. And people are going to be looking to see if, in fact, this is a great idea or not.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Earl, for the work that you do. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you out there. Come to the Sun Bowl.
Yes, come to the Sun Bowl. We'll give you some shades.
All right.
Thanks, Earl, so much for your time. A pleasure.
Thank you.
A true pleasure. Always enjoy having someone like Earl on the show. I mean, just a true blast. Thank you so much once again, Earl. You have to check out the great work that he's doing with his charter school, and in New York. I mean, he's simply incredible and amazing. All right, and then next we're going to have a jockey coming on. So you ready, Miles?
But first of all, we really need to talk about the significance of this prostate run.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that prevention is the key to all of it.
Yes.
And having these different celebrities here, as you know, speaks volumes in terms of what we're trying to do. So we really need to find out when do we get an opportunity to
we got to keep
people.
Raising awareness.
Awareness all the time.
Speaking of awareness, we're going to have somebody from the Negro League Baseball Museum. We're talking about Negro League Baseball coming on.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to let you, my co-host, take over this one.
Can you hear us? Can you hear that pretty good?
Huh?
Okay, there you go. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Loud and clear. You know, hey, tell us a little bit about who you are and tell us about the Negro League, which my grandfather, my father and them was aware of it, and so am I. But tell us a little bit about it and why it brings you here every year, because I see you the last few years I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us tell us about what's going on with the Negro League and what y'all doing.
Well, I'm here because I met Dr. Sigler a few years ago, and he asked about participating in this walk. And I told him I'd be glad to. So for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been helping, you know, coming in, supporting Dr. Sigler in this. And but I met him through the Negro League Museum, which they have up in Owens Mills. Dr. Sigler came up there, and we talked, and he was telling me about what he was doing. And I told him I'd be glad to work with him on it. You know, any time that he needed me, I would come out and we would do it. And it's a great thing because, you know, so many people are suffering from it and people need to know about it. So I told him I'd be glad to do it.
And you know, it's great that you say that because it really affects African Americans, you know. And, you know, we do not go and get checkups. And, you know, early detection is the key to it. But as African Americans, and you're a little older than me, I said a little older. You know? Why you feel that it's so important that we get out and get tested? You know, if you could say something now to the older African Americans, what would you tell them about this and the significance of being getting the detection early?
Oh, I would tell them, you know, to go out and get checked over because so many people that don't, you know, they're just afraid to go get checked out. But it's very important that they do. And I would tell any young man, you know, that, to go and get himself checked out because it's very important to get it detected early. If you catch it early, then you can do something about it. You know, so if David, you know, messes around and don't go, then it's too late. But this is a good thing that Dr. Siegel's doing so that you make people aware of what's going on, so they will be able to find out about it, you know?
Especially African-Americans, I can't state that enough. We need to get out there. We need to spread the word. Earlier detection is the key to this. Mm-hmm. And I know so many friends of mine have been touched by this. So I always, you know, I'm a big advocate for it. And I tell people all the time, we need to really get out and get people. The education is the key to it as well. So, you know, I love that. I love what you're doing. I love what that, you know, we still haven't had the opportunity to get together, the stuff that we're doing.
Okay.
And I know you're doing some great things. But I appreciate you taking time out to come on the air and tell everybody else what we need to do as far as this prostate cancer and prevention.
Now, it's just a pleasure just being able to do this because I like to, you know, my father, you know, suffered from prostate, you know.
Oh.
So, you know, I've been aware of it for quite a while, but I was kind of naive about it, so I never got myself checked until a lot of people started suffering, like I said. And Dr. Seeger really made me aware of what was going on, or, you know, especially around the world. It's all over, especially in the, like you said, in the African American men,
right.
You know. So that's why I said I better get myself checked out. And any young man, you know, man, African American people, just get checked out because it's very important.
Right. And you know, that's something we understand. We got to stop being afraid. And we need that early detection. You know, we need that. We need to stop procrastinating on it. We need the early detection about this prostate cancer, because we understand the only time we really reach out when it affects us personally. And we got to understand all of us, all African Americans, should affect all of us personally. But like I said, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And, you know, as I stated earlier, you know, my co-host, she's going to say she's been around running and doing some things with the marathon. But believe me, y'all, she wasn't running around anywhere. Only person did the run today but with me. But we got a lot of other guests coming on as my host come back. I just want people to understand the significance of this. And, you know, tell us, Kelsey, I mean, you know, how important this is. I mean, I can't
stress the importance enough. I mean, unfortunately, there's so many types of cancers, but prostate cancer is one, again, with early detection that can be prevented. I can't explain that enough. If that's not registering to you, I don't know how else to get to you. But I don't want anybody to be affected by this disease. Too many lives are lost. We see all the red shirts around. I've been inspired. Look, my eyes are heavy, and my heart is full now. Seeing all these survivors.
Absolutely.
We can't complain about anything in life. We have survivors that are here living, breathing with their families.
Right.
Because
even the little ones, they got their little
because
ones
of early detection.
Right.
All right.
So I
there's no way I can explain that anymore.
And you know, we have family members that, you know, and we would not want that to happen to them, and then it's going to be detected with us. You know what I mean?
Yes, so, but next we're going to switch it over to horse racing. Miles is going to...
Yeah, let me run around the
track. He's going to go run while I bring on my next guest. Her name, we're going to have a jockey coming on. And if you know, we're in the state of Maryland. We can't talk about Maryland without horse racing, without jockeying. And if you don't know about it, well, guess what? You're about to learn now and listening with Canaan. Again, we're live from Towson University, Johnny Unitas Stadium, where we are broadcasting live from Zero Prostate Cancer Walk and Run. It's going to be a fabulous event. I am now joined by a jockey. So shout out to the state of Maryland and all of our natives. Give me all of your information. This is so exciting. I remember last year was my first time ever interviewing a female jockey. That goes in my like top list of people I've interviewed. And even for my listeners, I don't know how many of them have ever listened to a female jockey. But first, introduce yourself, give your background, and then we're going to get into the meat, nuts and bolts of things.
My name is Jen Miller.
Yes.
I've been riding races for a couple of years. Primarily here in Maryland.
Yeah.
I love it here. The sport just gets so...
Are you a native of Maryland?
Actually, no.
It's okay. We'll adopt you in.
Okay. Wonderful.
Exciting. Yes. Okay, so how did you even get into being a jockey?
I loved horses as a kid.
Yeah.
And I grew up around show horses, and then I realized that going fast is a lot more fun.
Yes. Yes. If I wasn't so afraid to fall, I probably would be like you.
That is the downside. You cannot get up without at some point falling down.
But you have to, right? This is why you're here.
Exactly.
This is exciting. So, I mean, talk about the sport and how you've kind of see it continue kind of to grow into what it is today.
Well, I think Maryland is one of the best
yes.
locations for the sport. We're
yes.
one of the few states that is actually actively growing.
Nice,
and
okay.
We have racing here year-round between Laurel Park and Pimlico and Baltimore.
Wonderful.
And then a couple weeks at Timonium during the state fair.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to, especially with the state fair and the different locations, it's a nice way
it's
to
exciting.
Kind of reach out to different areas.
Yeah, that is amazing. And tell me, as a female, how have you seen the sport growing amongst females, especially the younger generation?
It is definitely changing. It's still tough in some areas, but it is starting to get to that when it comes to exercise riders, the people who get on the horses to get them fit.
Yeah.
A lot of trainers actually are starting to prefer female over men.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yes.
That's definitely changed.
2019 year of the girl.
Right? It's a little tougher with jockeys.
Yeah.
There's definitely more male jockeys.
Yeah.
There's an emphasis on strength.
Yeah.
But really, we all just need to be fit. It doesn't matter if you're
male. It's true. It's true. We all.
Fit.
We have to. You want to live a long, healthy life, you need to be fit. And
right.
I think it's great, though, hearing that. And so, tell me, I mean, what are some of your favorite experiences as a jockey?
Oh, boy.
I threw a curveball for that one.
I mean, of course, winning a race is
always nice. We always love winning.
I think my second most fun part, the most fun being winning.
Yeah.
The second most fun is the first three strides out of the
nice.
Gate.
Nice. Okay.
Have you ever ridden a roller coaster?
So, sometimes. I'll tell you. So, I ride the baby roller coasters at fair because I have a fear of heights.
Okay.
But I know what the feeling is. Usually, I don't like that feeling. But for you, it's an adrenaline
that
rush, it sounds like.
That when you're going up the hill and you hear the tick,
oh
tick,
my
tick,
gosh,
tick of the roller
yes.
coaster, and then it stops,
yes.
and it lets go.
Then you're off.
That's
wow.
That's what it feels like when you come out of the starting
oh
gate.
Oh my gosh. And I know the start is very important, right? Because it seems like if you're not, well, I guess sometimes it can happen, but usually if you're not at the beginning and when it first starts, right, it's going to be hard to kind of catch up to the others.
It depends a lot on your horse.
Okay.
Some horses want to be in the front.
Okay. And then some like to come
horses,
from behind.
They don't want to be up front.
That would be
they
me.
They want to let everybody else go and wear themselves out. And
then I'm passing it. That's definitely me. That's definitely me. If I was racing out here today, I'd be towards the back, but then I come back and win. I feel it. That's great to know. And tell me, I mean, so I know there's a lot of critics sometimes of horse racing just because I think there's misconceptions about how the horses are treated. So what would you say to kind of get rid of some of those misconceptions so people kind of know, you know, more about the backside of how the animals are being treated?
I really think a lot of these people should come actually spend time
around
and see what goes on because the fact is they're half-ton animals.
Right.
I don't care how strong you are.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is not going to get one of these animals to do something it doesn't want to do.
Okay.
To them, they learn about it as a game. If they were out in the wild in a field, they'd be running around and playing with each other.
Right.
So we're giving them an opportunity to play basically a sport they would play in the wild.
Wow.
And they actually love it. If they don't want to do it, they
don't. Oh, my God. And that's true. That's a good point. Right. You can't. And let me just ask, though, so today you are a successful jockey. When you were, let's say, 5 years old, I mean, is this where you envisioned yourself? And how did you, like, break it to your family, like, hey, Mom and Dad, right? I'm a jockey, and I'm successful, and I want you guys to come to me. How did that whole process go?
Well, at 5 years old, I was actually dreaming of being a basketball player.
Oh, my God. We just had Earl Monroe, right?
I thought if I could grow to be 5'4", I'd be fine.
Yes.
I didn't make it to 5'4", so... That's all right.
Yeah.
My family always knew I loved horses. They were okay with that.
I love that. Yeah.
They did think I was a little crazy for wanting to go 40 miles an hour on an animal. But they know it makes me happy.
Which is wonderful. That's what it's about. That's wonderful. That is great. And I just see the joy and expression. So before I let you go, can you give people more information about where they can find out more about you and where they can learn more about the wonderful races that you do?
Well, I would say come out to Laurel Park.
Laurel Park. Okay, you guys got that. Laurel Park.
Most of the year.
Okay,
that's,
wonderful.
That's the best way to find out.
Yes, just come experience it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But certainly, I have a Facebook page.
Yes, please give that so people can follow and learn more.
Jen Miller.
It's easy. I love it. Mine's my name, too. I like to keep it simple. thank you so much, Jen, for joining us again. Jen Miller is my very special guest. She's with Laurel Race Park, a wonderful, great jockey. Please check her out. And you heard her. Go to Laurel Park and find out more. Jen, thank you so much for your time. A pleasure meeting you. Thanks so much. Jen is awesome. She's here supporting the Zero Prostate Cancer Run Walk. It is just a fabulous time here at Towson University. We have so many different individuals here today. I mean, it's always a true joy. Every year, I mark off my calendar, and let me tell you, my little sister's birthday is always around this time, but even she understands the importance of me being here today. I'm going to be my little sister here next year.
Yeah, bring her here. But you know,
she almost went to the school, but she went to UMBC.
Well, don't forget to tell everybody I ran around the track three more
times. All right, you guys. So Miles is one of those people that needs the pat on the back. So everybody, let's give him a second to.
I took the little bird.
It's funny you ran because I saw you literally standing right across from me. So maybe you were running in your mind.
Steve, how you gonna see me? All right.
I got 20/20 vision. Okay. I see everything.
Now, Kelsey,
we just had Jen Miller from the Laurel Park. I have never been out there. And I'm ashamed to say that, spending 27 years of my life here in the DMV.
Maryland is huge.
It is, but it's also small. Like, when you look on the map, Maryland is not the biggest state.
Okay, well, you go.
But we've got a lot of people. A lot of great people. A lot of great people came from Maryland. Yeah, let's just say that.
Yeah, you got a lot of municipalities in Maryland, so Maryland is huge.
Anytime I get to shout out people from Maryland, I get excited. Christina Million's from Maryland. The Braxton sisters are from Maryland.
Okay, we want to know, I'm a native
Washingtonian. We're all clumped together in the DMV. He'll never say DMV, but we know better. Shout out to Montgomery County.
Every year we come here, it get bigger and better.
And this is what I love about it. We have a good friend, Walter Kirkland, here from Kirkland's Corner. You've been on his show. But I think what's been so magnificent about this entire race is that Dr. Siegel said it 13 years ago. He started this, and now seeing it blossom, I mean, it's like a sea of people. I don't know where to look or where to start, but it's just been magnificent. Yeah. And I think this year it's even more special.
Now this is Maryland right here. That's why I get mad. Although you're a great friend of mine, I'm a DC native, Washington. Let's get Mr. Kirkland on.
Yes, let's get Mr. Kirkland on. You're
going
to have to on this one.
I'm going to run around the track again because then Mr. Kirkland tells me he ran out.
But really quick, I want to show people the difference in these shirts this year. So we had Dr. Siegel on earlier. I just want people to see the differences. This year it says Dr. Sanford Siegel, okay, prostate cancer runner walk. This year is separate and different because obviously Dr. Siegel was diagnosed with prostate cancer. So that's something, again, please keep them in your prayers and thoughts, and that's why we're here today. I'm here with the man of the hour, I'll call him. Walter's everywhere, Walter Kirkland. It's a pleasure to have you. How are you? Me and Walter see each other a lot now, all the events.
We do, man.
It's good. It's good to be there. So, Walter, what brought you out today?
Well, you know, Kelsey, I do this every year. Chesapeake Urology is one of my clients.
Wonderful.
I've worked with them over the years. I used to sell medical devices years ago.
Oh, that's,
I do
stuff
for them, and I do prostate screening.
Wonderful, yes.
So this race has raised, as you know, several $1 million.
Yes.
Sandy Siegel, who's the person, the brainchild, created this years ago, is a great friend, great colleague.
Yes.
And this is, we'll look at this turnout.
I was looking at that. I mean, wow.
3,000 people, Kelsey.
Amazing.
You got survivors in the red shirts, as you know. You got folks like myself who are just hanging out. And, you know, it's real important. I'm sure you've been talking about that.
Yeah.
You have to know your numbers. You have to know your PSA, which is a blood test.
Yep.
You got to get your digital exams, which a lot of us African Americans don't want.
We're not getting them, I know.
But it's so, so important, Kelsey, because I've had family members, I've had friends that have died of prostate cancer. Because what has happened, it's too late in the game.
Right.
So it's so critical to get yourself tested.
And that's all we've been hearing today, Walter, is early detection. Early detection is key to hopefully prevent prostate cancer, and especially because, you said it, I mean, there's survivors here today, and we want people to hopefully be survivors if it ever should happen to them. But we're trying to prevent it.
Yes,
and seeing all these people here to raise so much money, so much funds, and just overall awareness, that's why you're here.
Right.
I'm here. I'm glad to broadcast a show live for that, in fact, reason. And like you, I've lost people to prostate cancer.
Yes.
And it hurts. I mean, cancer overall, but we don't want that to happen.
And, you know, Kelsey, what I think we do in African-American community is that we think, oh, okay, I'm not going to worry about this. But no, it hits us even quicker.
Yes.
I had friends as early as 35 years old.
Wow.
That had forms of prostate cancer.
Same.
For you viewers out there, get yourself checked. And if you're African-American, man, you're 40 or below, you got to go get yourself checked now. It could be too late.
And that's what we don't want. Walter, again, it's always a joy to have you. For those that don't know, tell them about your show and all that you do.
Man,
I don't know how they couldn't know you.
I have a show called
Quick Plug.
Oh, I love this lady. I got a show called Kirkland's Corner. It comes on every Monday and Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 on CTV. It's channel 76 on Comcast, 42 on Verizon. So check me out. It's a community show. It's an inspirational show. You bring movers and shakers in the Washington metro region. Kelsey, thank you for that plug.
Yeah, no problem.
You. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Oh,
thank you so much. I appreciate that. Walter, a true pleasure to have you. We will come hang out with you after this broadcast. And coming up next, we're going to have actually a prostate cancer survivor.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very excited to have Mr. Tony Breon on.
Awesome.
I mean, just fabulous. Walter, thank you so much
for
your time.
All right, Kelsey.
Check him out. 100 Black Men of America, Inc. in Prince George's County. Walter is the man.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, thanks. Bye.
This has just been a true joy continuing to broadcast live, again, from Towson University, Johnny United Stadium. If you're not out here, you are missing out. I don't know how else to say it, but it's an honor, truly, to have someone like a prostate cancer survivor here today. And you know what we're doing? Pictures, we're doing everything. So that's what we do here at Races.
Let's
we have fun. We're
going to
be sitting down so it looks real professional.
Like we're really doing this here. There
All
we go.
Right, we're doing it.
And take it the other way, too. There you go, just in case. Hope you know what you're doing. Okay.
Thank you so much, Walter. Right. Enjoy having you on.
What a surprise.
Oh, my gosh. This is fabulous and great. And this is a reunion. I love coming out and seeing people. I know. Again, come say hi. We are at a tent located right by the stage, right by the Towson University Tiger sign. Tony, how are you? It's a pleasure to have you on. I'm going to get this headset on you. Perfect. And then you're going to talk right into the mic. We are live on air. Tony, how are you today?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're a cool person. That's why we have you on. And we're also live for our Facebook viewing audience, so people are listening and watching us. So, Tony Breon, first off, Tony, tell me about yourself, who you are as a person, and then we're going to get into your story.
Well, I was raised in Harlem. I was born in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
You know, in the Bronx, we lived in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Grew up there. I have one daughter who's a comedian.
Oh, nice. She's what a fun career.
Yeah, she has a special on HBO and all.
I love how you said it so modestly. Yeah, she's successful.
Thank God.
That's amazing.
first Puerto Rican.
Yes.
And brown person to win the award in the comics.
Oh, amazing. See, you say it so modestly,
I'm so
Tony.
Proud of.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
And she's a twin. Her name is Gina. Her
sister's
Debbie. Then I have my other kids.
Then the other kids,
Oh, yeah, Junior and
that's wonderful.
And Veronica.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, you know, I did a lot of work in Harlem because I grew up there.
Nice.
I did a lot of mentoring. And when I go back, I still go back to
my neighborhood. Oh, that is wonderful.
You know, because I was mentored when I was a kid there.
Yes.
And,
you're giving back
going
now.
Going back was very important. And I've done some diabetes classes here, teaching diabetes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To senior citizens and young people.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because
yes.
I'm a diabetic, you know. I'm also a prostate cancer
survivor, yes.
Dr. Siegel has been my doctor.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now I have the only, but I moved to Maryland.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the people think about Baltimore.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
I tell people you got Baltimore's such a community city, so much to do. In a real environment where they're welcoming.
And the people are nice.
You
know, like I said, I grew up in Harlem and we used to get a bad rap over there. And now Baltimore's got the same thing. They got a bad rap.
Unfortunately.
But
if you
get to meet the people that are here.
Yeah.
There are so many wonderful people.
It'll change your mind.
I try to do as much, you know, help anybody out. Like if a Hispanic doesn't speak English, I try to be an interpreter.
Not that
not that my Spanish is that great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's better than nothing.
Hey, it helps. It helps. And Tony, I mean, let me just also ask you, so tell me about your prostate cancer story. When did you find out you had prostate cancer, and what was the treatment and diagnosis like?
Okay, it was a funny story because I found out in 1997.
Oh, wow, okay.
And my daughter Veronica, when she found out I had prostate cancer, she got on the computer and all that.
Yeah.
And it was funny because a guy called me from California on his own dime to tell me about the seeding.
Wow.
And he hooked me up with Dr. Hilaris, who was a pioneer in that. And they did the seeding, and let me knock on wood here.
Yeah.
For all these years, I've had the prostate cancer. Then I moved there and I got Dr. Siegel.
Amazing.
And he's an amazing doctor.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, Dr. Leone, who took over for him.
Wow.
Another fantastic doctor.
That is great.
So I'm.
So when did you find out that your prostate cancer was gone?
You know, it's been under check for a lot of years.
Wow.
I take the Lupron treatments. And once in a while, it raises a little. But then with the Lupron treatment.
It helps.
And the exercises and everything. Because I am also a diabetic. And that's
right.
Bad.
So it's hot. It hurts. Yeah. Wow, Tony.
And, but I'm very happy with the doctor. And I do anything that I can to, help.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I have to thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining
me.
And honestly, thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for being a survivor, Tony.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much. Again, that was Tony Breon. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, we have so many great survivors here. Tony shared his story with us. I'm thankful for that. And I hope that reaches somebody out there who has not yet been to the doctor to be checked. But Tony is a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Thank you so much, Tony. They have the Heroes hats. It's just been awesome. It's just been awesome. All right. I have another great guest coming up, and I love it. He has the Bullet shirt. Oh, sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. We are welcoming another great guest, and he has a shirt on to prove it from the Bullets. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you? Sorry we have the sun right in your face. Let's put this on you. And we are live on air.
Okay.
And also, you can see our video audience on Facebook Live. Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing good. What's this?
Oh, sorry. We have the race t-shirts for this year. Sorry, the wind is blowing everything. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to our listening audience?
This is a great event. I've been out here the last 3-4 years, and it's been really good.
What's been your favorite part of the race?
The favorite part of the race is seeing the other celebrities.
Yeah.
Really.
Even though he's one.
I drafted Earl Monroe, and we had
amazing.
A bunch of them. And every year, everybody dies off a little. But other than that, everything's good.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. And how was the reunion between you and Earl when you guys see each other here?
It's great. I drafted him, and we just... We've had a great relationship this whole career, which is probably about 50 years.
Oh, my gosh. That is wonderful just to see that. And tell me, I mean, when you come out here and you see all of these individuals, how does that speak to the work that Dr. Sanford Siegel does for the community?
It's wonderful. You know, and he's such a personable guy.
Yeah.
And he's hands-on. I mean, it's great. And he came over and got his picture. When they get his picture with us.
Because the celebrity's right next to me. I can see why.
But it's a great event.
It's wonderful.
Has the thing started yet?
Yes, they did the 10K and the 5K, and then I believe soon they're going to do the kids dash. I don't know if you saw the cute little kids and the little superhero case and stuff. It's wonderful.
Well,
and then
my wife
weather.
Is here too somewhere.
Oh, nice. We've got to find her. It's great. And let me ask you, what do you think about the Washington Wizards? What can we expect for them this season? Should we get our hopes up?
I'm really not an expert in them anymore, but I think that, you know, they're going to do a good job, and they got a lot, you know, they're rebuilding.
Okay.
But
no championship though.
Well, I don't think so. But,
sorry,
listeners. You never know. Though. They didn't think we would.
And look what happened. And look at that. Yes, he has the ring to prove it. See it in the camera. That's truly true. Can we get you to put it up one more time into the camera just so people can see it again? And you're living, breathing proof. You're right that nobody thought it was going to happen.
You know what? I found this shirt. This shirt
really?
Must be 40 years old.
Jeez.
I
can't tell. It looks great.
And it still fits.
It still fits. That means you're doing something right. Well, it's been a joy to have you on. Tell us, though, what are you up to lately? What's been new?
Oh, well, I work for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes. If nobody knew, who's going to be really good?
I retired last year.
Yes. Congratulations on a successful career.
I was involved with this when I was 80 years old.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you still did it.
I don't either.
You are inspiration and goals. I have to thank you so much for joining me. It's been a blast. A true pleasure having you.
If I can get out of here now.
Wanted to make sure. But again, just basketball royalty.
I got it.
Perfect.
I got it. Thank you.
It's been a true blast and honor. And then he's actually about to go to the stage, so I have to let him go. But it was a true, true honor and blast. We really had basketball royalty on. I mean, if you guys don't know who we just heard from, I don't know if you're a basketball fan at all. I'm going to have my co-host Richard Miles come back. Again, we're broadcasting live from Towson University. Zero Prostate Cancer Runner Walk. The end of prostate cancer. Hashtag end prostate cancer. If you are on social media, that's what we're trying to do. Our last guest, Bob. Tell me that was not amazing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Bob Ferry, before your time.
But I want to make sure our listeners knew that we had Bob Ferry on because absolutely. Royalty. Yeah. That's a huge gift. And I mean, just so modest, so great. And then he might have left the Brooklyn Nets organization at the wrong time because now they got Kyrie and KD. I think they should add another K. They need to add me to Brooklyn, maybe. Who knows? Great things happening in Brooklyn. Again, we're having a great time at the Zero Prostate Cancer Runner Walk. It's great to see Dr. San Francisco put this all together with his great squad and team. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to thank so much the team at Zero Prostate Cancer and Chesapeake Urology for having us out each and every year. Pat Shanleby, Jennifer, you guys are all rock stars. You're all awesome. Jamie Pearson from Zero Cancer. Hopefully we get Jamie to come by. He's with Zero Cancer. If not, no big deal, but Jamie's awesome because Jamie's also another man who's behind this work. But
absolutely.
I'm here with my co-host. We're broadcasting live. Listen to McKinnon. This has been a true testament because when I started this show, I wanted to make sure that we got into the community and that community knew we're there. And bringing awareness is one of the big platforms of my show. So I think it's a huge, huge, huge get. It's needed.
We have one more guest before we leave. A woman jockey. I mean, you know what you're saying.
A female
power,
jockey.
Girl power.
Woman rock.
We want to get her up here. But like I said, I can't state it enough. This thing gets bigger and bigger every year. And you have a lot of different fraternities, fraternities out here.
Yes, we have the men of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. And then I can't forget to shout out my lovely stories of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We have another jockey coming up. Mr. Miles is going to head off. And I think this is Miss Katie Davis. So another jockey. I love it. All the girl power on today's show. It's just something that we don't learn enough about. How are you, Katie, right? Hi, Katie. How are you? So nice to meet you. A blast and a pleasure. You are our second female jockey of the day. I'm excited. I was just telling Jen how awesome it is to have you all here. And people just to learn more about it. So first of all, tell me your background and how did you get into being a horse jockey?
Well, I grew up in the business. My father was a jockey and he was the only one that really got into it growing up.
Okay.
So it was a way in.
And it's great. You kind of followed in Dad's footsteps.
Yes.
And now here you are today. So tell us about some of your accolades.
It's been a challenge.
Okay.
You know, up and down, roller coaster. You know, getting trainers and owners to like you.
Yeah.
You know,
what's that process like?
It's tough.
I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, you just got to be yourself and very supportive with everything you do. And,
yes.
Always believe in yourself as well.
That's what it's about.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what it's about.
Yeah.
So tell me, how overall do you think it's been for females in the sport? And how have you kind of seen the sport grow with female participation?
You know, it's very tough.
I'm
in this
sure.
business.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says, oh, it's a man's sport.
And, you know,
us females, you know, coming through Laurel
in
Maryland, we end up sticking together.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So it's very nice. I've been through a lot of racetracks, and, you know, most of the girls get jealous. And I tell them, it's not us.
Yes.
We want the guys' mounts. We want to
right.
be our
horses.
Right. We don't want
them. Right.
Yeah.
Let's come together.
Yes.
We're strong together.
Yeah. So, you know, and we help each other out. You know, if I can't ride a horse, I'll send it to another girl.
That is wonderful.
Come on, put her on.
I think we need more of that in general with females. We have to stop being so competitive and embrace each other.
Yes. It's true.
There's room for everybody at the table. I say that all the time. I wish people would recognize and realize that. I think, honestly, you're a living, breathing testament. Tell us more about the Laurel Park, about its history. I mean, and when can we come out to races and come watch you, Katie?
Well, there is actually racing today.
Oh, nice. Did we even hold you up? I hope.
No,
racing. Okay, good.
No, I got in trouble.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no, but we're excited still to have you here.
Yeah,
so there's race, and how often are races there? I feel like I grew up in Maryland and I've never been there. I don't know what happened. I know. I need to do better.
It's actually really beautiful.
Thanks.
I mean, if you can ever get a group of friends.
Yes, I'm going to have to.
You know, they really fixed it up nicely.
Nice.
It's nice to go on a Saturday.
Nice.
Just for a couple hours.
Okay, nice.
You know, definitely.
And, like, what are prices like for people that want to come out to races?
It's pretty much free to get in.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you guys have no excuse, all right? Leave your wallet at home and come on down to the track. There's nothing better than that, right? I feel like that's the best type of thing that can happen. And Katie, last but not least, before I let you go, just tell people your personal social media information and then where they can find out more about getting, tickets to Laurel Park.
Sure. My Facebook, it's under Katie Davis.
Perfect.
I'm at Laurel. And, I don't know the actual.
It's okay. We'll find you. She's Katie Davis, regular spelling, nothing fancy. I'm doing Kelsey Nelson, like regular spelling, nothing fancy. Katie, thank you so much for joining me. You're our blast. I want to come out. I'm going to have to come. I'm going to look forward to watching you and Jen.
For you in the stands.
I will be there. I know. I don't know what happened.
You know,
I'll blame my parents. They never took me. So, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. I'm throwing this one to you. I don't know how I've never been there. But
it's a great place, too. And most of the jockeys try to connect with the fans.
That's wonderful.
Well.
I love that. Yeah, that's an attraction. So, more reason to go. Katie, thank you so much for your time.
You.
A pleasure having you. Yes. Best wishes with your career.
Thank
truly.
You so much.
Truly. No problem. Katie is awesome. Katie Davis joining me. A blast. We are live from Towson University, Johnny United Stadium. It's been a blast. Listening to Kanan has been going live. Again, this is one of my favorite events. I'm already waiting for next year. And every year they're giving us new race shirts.
Carl Richardson.
Okay. Oh, nice. Hi, how are you?
Who are you with?
I am with Fox Sports Radio.
Where?
Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports.
No, let me give you this one.
Great. What's your name?
I am Kelsey. Thanks so much for joining me on my show. This is Listen In with KNN. So tell us, what brought you out today, Carl?
Dr. Sanford. When he asked, I will come.
It was good. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
What do you think about the turnout today?
You know, every year they do a great job, and it's well organized. So, you know, everybody got their run in, it looks like. I'm going to have to leave here and go get my own run in since I didn't get up early enough. Yeah, no, we're here doing some autograph signing, some
wonderful.
Of the guys. So
it's an honor to have you here. And obviously with the Ravens, it's also game day. We can't
it is,
out.
Right?
10 o'clock, Kansas City Chiefs. We have captain defense for the Ravens here.
Is he?
He's somewhere around here. So I've got a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson. And I think he's had a terrific start to the season with the Baltimore Ravens. But there's some saying that they don't know if he can pull it together against someone like Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So what do you think about Lamar Jackson's just development this season?
Oh, I think all of us have seen enough to know that, you know, put him out there and things can happen. And I think they'll hold their water against anybody right now. I think, you know, the defense is really what everybody's going to focus on today. So, you know, can Lamar, if they get ahead, if Kansas City gets ahead, can Lamar play catch up? Or if Ravens get ahead, can the defense hold off, you know, home? So, you know, I think that's the matchup. I don't think it's necessarily one quarterback play versus the other. And if Lamar can keep up, it's going to be a lot about our own defense, I think.
Yes, with Pat.
What do you think?
I agree. And speaking of defense, though, it's funny you bring that up. Because finally, for the first time, the Ravens are without Ed Reed, who, of course, just went into Canton. Ray Lewis, who also went to Canton.
Right.
And Terrell Suggs, of course,
is
now with the Cardinals.
Yep.
So now it's kind of a brand new defense.
Right.
And if you haven't been watching the Ravens, you might be looking at that defense like, whoa, like, what happened to the Ravens?
Yeah.
So how do you think the defense has fared this year, I would say, without any huge superstar names?
Earl Thomas was a huge pickup. You know, it solidifies the back end, which is very important. And the more you have on the back end, the more that the Judon and the guys off the edge can come.
Yeah, hearing his name in the stadium.
And those guys are a lot of pressure, you know. The front guys, they're going to get their, you know, at the back end, then get a sack. So, you know, it was, you know, better have a rock there because that's not asking him to.
Everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with KNN. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the KNN bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week to new shows that drop online at foxsports1340am.com and kelseynicolenelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to hit subscribe, rate, and please review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to me from the bottom of my heart. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play. Thanks for listening.